Good morning, friends. Welcome to worship this morning. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once, and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord. Let us say, thanks be to God. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And so begins a song that's, if you've grown up in Sunday school, if you grew up in church and you went to Sunday school, you may have learned this song somewhere along the line. And it's amazing to me how, as I get the opportunity to ask people the question, "What is your favorite Jesus story?" It's often that the people will say, "Well, you know, there was this story from when I was small, from when I was wee, right?" That captures something about who Jesus is to me that's really important. And that's what we're doing with our sermon series this month. We're looking at favorite Jesus stories. And this favorite Jesus story is not mine, it's somebody else's. And in a few moments, you'll get to meet them. What we did was last week I shared my favorite Jesus story, sort of as a way to prime the pump. And then I invited people to join me for our second hour, adult ed hour, and we talked about it, and people shared their stories, and this is one that sort of emerged for us. If you want to join us this afternoon or after church, I'd love to have you come. We'll do this again, and would love to hear your favorite Jesus story. As we began as a group to think about this story, the questions that we were asking are the same ones I asked you last week. So what makes this a great Jesus story? That is, what is the problem? What's the driving issue? What's the tension in the story? And then what's the big invitation that Jesus extends? Out of this tense moment, Jesus always extends some invitation, some challenge, some opportunity that the person in the story gets the opportunity, you know, has to work out for themselves. And then there's always this question at the end. There's always something that we walk away from that says, "I have something more to think about. There's something more for me to have to wrestle with." And I think this story of Zacchaeus has all those wonderful elements. The tension of the story, of course, is Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Not just being short of stature, but he was seen as small in the eyes of all of his peers. He was seen as less than. He was seen as, frankly, bad. He was a tax collector. That means that he accepted the opportunity to make a living by collaborating with the Roman government to collect taxes on their behalf from his fellow Jewish people, which means they resented him. And as those of us who have heard stories around tax collectors many times, the clearest indication is that a tax collector made his money by basically figuring out how to get more taxes from people than the Romans demanded so that he could save some of it and, you know, for himself. And so as much as he could squeeze people for, that's kind of indicated how what his profit was. And so presumably he was pretty wealthy because he figured out ways to leverage this position of authority he had in a way that made people resentful. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He was seen as small and petty, and he was short. So when this famous teacher comes in, the problem for Zacchaeus is, how can I see? How can I get some sense of who this person that everybody's been talking about? I'm small. He apparently is a big deal. I wanted to get close to that. I want to get a sense of what that would be like. And knowing that he can't ask people to make room for him, knowing that nobody is going to step aside so he can get closer to this notable teacher and rabbi, Zacchaeus instead decides to climb a tree. And having climbed the tree, you ask yourself, what would that have been like for him? That is to say, he gets a great view. He's above everybody else, but he's also isolated from everybody else. He's up in the sycamore tree, and he's sort of made a fool of himself, right? He's a grown man climbing a tree, and he doesn't seem to care too much about that. He's up there where people might be able to see him and ridicule him more, if they so chose, and he doesn't seem too concerned about that either. There's something in him that maybe reminds you of something in you that says, I just want to get a little closer to Jesus. But I also like it up here. It's safe. I'm above and apart from everything going on down there. And frankly, I don't feel safe down there with everybody else. I want to be here. Can you relate to Zacchaeus at all as you think about that? So the problem is, we want to get closer to Jesus. The problem is, we believe, we know that wherever Christ is, wherever the Lord Jesus Christ is, there is love, there is acceptance, there is healing, there is wholeness, there is peace, there is truth, there is righteousness, there is holiness. There's all the good things of life. Jesus embodies what the New Testament calls the kingdom of God, which is shorthand for everything, all the ways in which life is supposed to be. Jesus, the kingdom is that phrase that holds all of that, and Jesus is the person who embodies it. So we can trust, can't we, that everybody we know wants more of that. That everybody we know, whether they identify themselves as Christian or not, whether they identify themselves as some other faith tradition or not, whether they are vocally for or against organized religion, no matter what people say, at the end of the day, we know that people want more of that, which means that we all find ourselves surrounded by people who, if they had a chance to draw closer to Jesus, they would take that chance. We can trust that. We can trust that, which means we are always having the opportunity to live out our story in a way that invites people to do so. To take our favorite Jesus story, whatever that is, and bring people closer. This is a great discipleship story. This is a great story to share for people who might be interested in following Jesus more. So, the problem is, Zacchaeus wants to get closer to Jesus. And then we see the amazing invitation. It doesn't sound like an invitation, does it? It sounds like an order. Jesus doesn't say, hey, Zacchaeus, would it be okay if I come to your house for lunch? That would be an invitation, right? But instead, Jesus sort of makes it as an order. He commands Zacchaeus, come down. Come on out of that tree. Not with anger, but with what? What do you think Jesus was feeling when he looked up at Zacchaeus at that moment? What was his tone of voice? If you were in that tree, how would you want Jesus to tell you, I want you to come out of that tree so that you and I can have lunch together. I'm going to come to your house. I want to spend time on your turf. I want to spend time with you on your terms. I want to get to know you. I want to spend time with you. What would that sound like to you if Jesus were to say that? That's the invitation that Jesus gives to Zacchaeus. And it must have been so transformative to him. It must have run through him like love right through his heart. Because he climbs down immediately and you begin to, and then we get to really get a sense then of just how outrageous this invitation is, how extravagant and how scandalous. People immediately start talking trash. You can just, to the extent that Zacchaeus' face is glowing, everybody else is scowling. Chris Mendel, our office manager, picked a really great picture for our bulletin, didn't he? If you look, you'll see Zacchaeus has got some this kind of astonishment on his face. Jesus is issuing this invitation, and everybody else is mad. They're just mad. And you've got to wonder, are they jealous? Why didn't Jesus look at me and want to come to my house for dinner? But they certainly know that Zacchaeus is not the right kind of person that you would be sharing a meal with. And again, those of us who've heard these stories many times, we know that table fellowship, that is, who you eat with, that defined who you are in first century Palestine. Everything was oriented around who you broke bread with, who you sat at table with. That's what was important. And that's why people were so scandalized by Jesus, because he clearly was a learned rabbi, clearly was a person who was seeking after God, and he still hung out with tax collectors and sinners. This man is a sinner, they said. He's going to go eat with a sinner. Maybe he's not everything that we thought he would be. And herein lies the great gospel message. Jesus doesn't care what other people think. When Jesus looks at you and invites you to be in life with him, he is doing so with zero concerns about what other people think. He's not comparing you to somebody else. He's not deciding how this would look to other people. He knows who you are. He gets that Zacchaeus is a wee little man. He gets the whole narrative. Jesus is not ignorant of the dynamics around him, is he? He's got a good feel for what's happening very quickly, and he does not care. He sees somebody who's taking just a small step toward him by climbing up a tree to get a better look. And Jesus takes a giant leap in response and says, I will reach for you. Come and be with me. Let's share a meal together. Jesus doesn't care what other people think. Isn't that good news? Isn't it great news that Jesus doesn't care what people think? And when we begin to notice who else is coming closer to Jesus, we should look at them and go, if whatever judgment I have in my head about this person and about what their motives are and about their story, about their past, about their history, about how good or bad they are, about how sincere or false they are, about whether or not they're doing it for the right reasons or whether they've got the right motives or whether they really understand what it really means to follow Jesus or if they're just doing this just to get a free donut. We should remember, Jesus doesn't care what I think. I'm not the one he's going to run decision by about who he draws into love and life with. He's going to keep doing this indiscriminately. He's going to keep crossing borders, even when it bothers me, even when it challenges my understanding about the way things ought to be. He's just going to keep doing it. He don't care. And then I think, oh, boy, am I glad he did that for me. I guess I should be glad that he's doing it for somebody else, too. And we should celebrate. Can I get an amen? So, the problem, Zacchaeus is a wee little man. He's not known or appreciated in any positive way. And he's too small to be able to see Jesus unless he climbs a tree. The amazing invitation, Jesus sees him. Jesus knows him. Jesus recognizes him. Jesus calls him by name and says, Come down. Come close. Let's have fellowship together. Let's be friends. I want to be your friend. I want to share a meal with you today. What's the big question that you leave with as you hear this story? What's the big challenge? For me, it's that question around judgment. Am I busy judging who should be or close to Jesus or not? Maybe for you, it's the question of, would Jesus really want to be with me? Does Jesus really know who I really am? Does he really know the secret stuff of my life and still accept me, receive me as is? Or maybe that question is much more oriented around what we see Zacchaeus do in response. See, I am continually struck by the way in which we in church say, here's what happens. If you come into church, I want you to believe a certain way and behave a certain way, and then you get to belong. Right? Come in here, believe what we're teaching, behave the way we behave, and then you get to belong to us. And here, Jesus completely flips that. He says to Zacchaeus, you belong. I don't even know what you believe and don't care. And because of that unqualified acceptance that Jesus offers, it says, you belong. You belong right now. His behavior immediately changes. He feels emboldened. He feels free. He feels seen. He feels known and acknowledged as a son of Abraham. Like just as legit as everybody else. Just as available to receive God's grace. Just as legit as anybody else in the room, regardless of what they do for a living. And he says, I just want to say in front of everybody, if I've ever cheated you, I'll make it up 4 times. That validation that he receives from God frees him up to be generous, frees him up to want to be righteous with everybody else. If I'm not right with you, I want to get right with you. If I'm right with him, I can be right with everybody else. And I think that's the amazing question, right? What does it take? Jesus, what do I need to do to be right with you? And how can I respond to the fact that I belong to you and give myself away? I don't have to care what other people think. I don't have to care about what their decisions and judgments are. I can be fully my generous, open-hearted, self-giving self because you accept me. What a transformation. So, would you like to know who has this as their favorite Jesus story? It's somebody who values acceptance, right? Being accepted and accepting other people just as they are. It's somebody who knows what it's like to have made mistakes, but also to be able to receive God's full forgiveness and know that it does not matter. Your past doesn't matter. It's okay. God accepts you. Who knows that in her bones and wants other people to know that too. It's somebody who has a capacity for compassion because she knows what it feels like to feel left out. She knows what it feels like to feel like she's not included. And she will share that love with somebody else. That's how she's going to disciple. That's how she does disciple other people. You following? Brenda, would you come up? So, y'all know Brenda Gibbs, and she shared this story during the second hour. Thank you so much. And Brenda, I just wanted to have you just share a word with us about what this story means to you.
Am I on?
You are on.
So, yeah, I have to... Zacchaeus has been in my head all week. Thank you so much for that. And I need to bring this back down to the way the story for me was as a child. Raised in the Southern Baptist, you know, the song was, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And as children, you're already down here, and we were already going, he is a wee little man. So he's little bitty. And so I think I compared myself to him. Morgan said, were you short and left out? And I went, no, I was short, but I was not left out. I had a mouth that still continues to haunt me, needless to say. But the story of this little man who, I didn't really get the tax part back then, but as an adult boy, you do. We stay away from, you know, we hate the IRS, we still do. You know, it's just that type of thing. But you get this gentleman who, he's small. You can tell that maybe people ignore him. They don't see him. They don't like him. He doesn't fit in. But he is decided he's going to see Jesus. That's all there is to it. And because all the other people probably, you know, they're bigger. They're going to push him out of the way. But he gets up in that tree. Well, that's a kid thing. He got up in a tree. Wow, we like this dude. He's climbing trees. He got up there. And now he can see and nobody's bothering him. And then when Jesus says, come down. And I'm sure that Jesus was surrounded with all these other people that loved him, touching him, wanted to be with him. And he's like, come down. I'm going to your house. Of course, as a woman, if that had been me, I would have been call ahead. Get things picked up now. We've got an issue. But you think, my God, as a kid, he's little. He made a difference. And I think we as adults realize we have to make a difference. We got to reach out to those different people. We got to reach out. Doesn't matter what they do. Got to reach out. We got to love. And that's what Jesus did. And that's what the story means to me. That no matter what our size, we can do it.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but a happy man was he. For he had seen the Lord that day. A happy man was he. A very happy man was he. Let us pray. Loving Lord, thank you for this story. Thank you for who you are in it. Thank you for who we are in it. Thank you for the way in which it's touched Brenda's life and helped form her into the person she is today. A person who, like you, wants to receive people and love them and show wonderful hospitality. Lord, we pray that this story would stay with us this week the way it stayed with Brenda last week, and that we would continue to be shaped and formed by it. Amen. Now receive the benediction, friends. May the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God be yours now and forevermore. And may you now give it away as you have so generously received it. Go in peace. Amen.